All right, we'll get started. This is actually my first time speaking at the Yom HaAtzmaut breakfast. Of course, in previous years, Rav Eller Zatzal would always speak, and this last year, yes. He didn't speak, but I wasn't here because my grandmother had passed away a few days before, so I was in Chutz La'aretz. So this is my first time. First of all, I just want to say last night was amazing. The tefillah was unparalleled, at least. It was Simchat Torah-esque. And it was really amazing. This morning, I want to speak about Yom HaAtzmaut. There are many, many different aspects of Yom HaAtzmaut. It's hard to put your finger on what is the most important. There's the miracles of Yom HaAtzmaut. It's become kind of like a Hanukkah type of holiday. There is the idea of Jewish independence, of Jewish unity, of sovereignty in our land. There is the idea of Reshit Smichat Gulatenu, that this is a part in the process of the Geula. And I'm not going to dispute about what is the most important aspect, but I don't want to speak about any of those aspects. I want to speak about something which I think really goes a tiny bit, in my opinion, more to the core, and underpins many of the other aspects of Yom HaAtzmaut, and that is the land itself. The Gemara Ketubot. I personally did not grow up going to Bnei Akiva. It wasn't really something that was big in New York, or at least in Brooklyn. It wasn't so big. I know that many of you did. And it seems that I would assume that any shliach of Bnei Akiva has to know the last 2-3 dapim of Gemara Ketubot by heart. The entire end of the Gemara talks about Aliyah. It has the Shalosh Shvuot. It talks about Moshe and Aaron going into the land. It talks not going into the land. It talks all about the beauty and the majesty and the importance of Eretz Yisrael. There's a little tiny keta on the last daf, on Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, right, going from the bottom of the previous daf till the top, and it could be overlooked a little bit, but I think it really goes to the core of the importance and the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in our minds, and I hope that analyzing this Gemara, very, very short Gemara, analyzing it will help us today, and really, as most of us are Olim Chadashim, really help us throughout the year, hopefully for the rest of our lives, really appreciating the land that we have chosen to live in. Gemara says, it's basically a few tiny vignettes about different rabbis. Rav Abba, Menashe, Kipe, Da'ako. Rav Abba, it says, used to kiss either the rocks, the stones, or the coral, Rashi says, almoga, the coral or the foliage of Eretz Yisrael, specifically of Akko. We'll get back to why that might be important. Rav Chanina metaken metakle. Rabbi Chanina, according to Rashi, it means he used to fix the roads. He would go around, he would see things on the road. Maybe he would pick up the litter. Maybe he would try to pave in the potholes. He would fix the roads of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Amir Rasi, Kaimi Mishimsha Latula, Umitula Lishimsha. What says Rav Amir and Rav Asi, these great rabbis, when they were learning, so if they were learning in the sun and it would get really, really hot, they would move to the shade. And if they were learning in the shade and it would get really, really cold, then they would move to the sun. Okay, that one's a little weird. Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, Megander Ba'afra. Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda used to roll around in the dust of Eretz Yisrael. Shnei Amar, says in Tehillim, Ki Ratzu Avadacha Et Avaneha, Vet Afra Yichonenu. The Jewish people, they desire the land so much that even the rocks and the dust, we love it. We can't get enough of it. Now, this Gemara tells four short snapshots of different rabbis and how they used to appreciate and treat the land of Israel. And at first glance, you could really kind of, sounds like a mishmash, you can kind of smush them all together and summarize it with, these rabbis really loved Eretz Yisrael. In fact, you look in the Rambam codifies this. He says, G'dolei chachamim hayu menashkim atchumei Eretz Yisrael menashkim avaneh umetgalgalin alafera. That the G'dolei chachamim, the great rabbis, used to kiss the rocks, used to kiss the borders of the land of Israel, get to what he means, and kiss the rocks, and roll around in the dust. It codifies this idea, and he kind of just smushes them all together. But the truth is that if you kind of peel away the layers, you can see four distinct ideas here. Four distinct, separate ways of appreciating the land of Israel. So first of all, you start with Rav Abba Menashe Kipi da Akko. So why pick specifically Akko? Why does it, did he just happen to live in Akko and that's why it's important, perhaps? What? Anybody want to suggest anything?
Wasn't
Akko a border at some point? Well, that's the question. Tosafot points out that there's actually a dispute about whether Akko even is part of Eretz Israel proper. At least in terms of what we're talking about here, in terms of loving Chibat Ha'aretz, the love of the land, is Akko even part of it? The Gemara in Gittin discusses about what's here, what's there. So Akko is kind of a dispute. So apparently Rav Abba believed that Akko was part of Eretz Israel, and he wanted to, you know, emphasize that fact that this part is also Eretz Israel, and he used to kiss the borders. That's how the Rambam actually interprets it, the borders of the land, to show everybody, you know, that's Chutz La'aretz, this is Eretz Israel, and we want to appreciate the land of Eretz Israel even more than we appreciate the land of Chutz La'aretz. The next one, Rabbi Chanina Metakin Metaklei. So Judith is actually, Tosus had a different girsa over here. It seems he read it Metakel Metaklei. In Aramaic, the Taf and what letter is interchangeable?
Shin.
The Shin. The Taf and the Shin. So if Toto's reading is correct, it's Meshakel Meshaklei. And he quotes a Midrash that actually would support this, because the Midrash in Shlach says that Rabbi Chanina used to, as he was approaching Eretz Israel, he used to, as he was walking by, he would pick up stones on the way to Eretz Israel and he would weigh them. Because he could tell that there was a certain weight that the stones of Eretz Israel had. That outside of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have that weight. So he would meshakel meshaklei. He would weigh the stones, because once he got to Eretz Yisrael, he would weigh the stones and he would realize that he had actually reached Eretz Yisrael. That's how Tosafot reads it. But Rashi reads it differently, as I mentioned before. Rashi reads it differently, and here we begin to diverge. Rashi says that what Rabbi Chanina used to do is he would fix the roads. What was he doing? What was he doing fixing the roads? So the idea over there is that according to Rashi, was trying to make sure that for other people, Eretz Yisrael was as beloved as it was to him. He wanted to make sure that there were no people walking around complaining about the potholes and about how dirty it was and about how smelly it was. He would make sure that everything was spick and span, everything looked good to everybody. You know, in modern days, say, you know, he would work and make sure that if you go to the government office, there was not too much red tape, you know, preventing you from getting, you know, your tudat zehut or from getting your whatever it is that you needed. So that there shouldn't be, you know, complaining in Eretz Yisrael. He would make sure that there was nobody, he wouldn't give anybody a reason to complain when they were in Eretz Yisrael. I always use as a mashal for this. What? I always use as a mashal for this that, you know, when I remember when I and my friends, when we started to date, so, you know, the first day you took the girl to one place, and then eventually you took her to a nice restaurant that you really liked. Couldn't do that on the first date because you'd lose all your money. So you'd wait until you were serious about it. It's a serious thing. If you're going out with a lot of girls, you can't just go out. Whatever. So at a certain point, you take them to a nice restaurant, one that you really like. Now the problem with doing that, though, is that, you know, it's your favorite restaurant, right? And when you go, you want to make sure that she likes it. Because if she doesn't, for some reason, maybe this is man thinking, I don't know if women think like this as well, but if she doesn't like that restaurant, if she doesn't like the food, it's a reflection on you. It's as though she doesn't like your food, even though you didn't cook it, you didn't do anything. It could just be something that, you know, the kitchen did wrong, but it's you feel like it's a part of you. Rabbi Chanina wanted to make sure that everybody loved Eretz Yisrael. It was important to him. Because he thought that it was a reflection on him, a reflection on Kadosh Baruch, a reflection on the Jewish people. He wanted to make sure that everybody loved Eretz Yisrael. So he would go around fixing everything. That was his level. Now, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, here you get very interesting. Rav Ami and Rav Asi did the inverse. They wanted to make sure that they themselves never had anything to complain about. To give a crack, a groan. Of course, you could be anywhere. You could be in California and the sun could be too hot. You could be in London and it could be too rainy. You could be in anywhere, and weather is weather, you know. We have the same, we have a little bit better weather than most places, but we have the same weather. But Rav Ami and Rav Asi, if they were sitting in the sun and it got a little bit too hot, so we don't want to give a little bit of a groan. Even a a trace of complaining, we're going to move to the shade. And if it was in the shade, it was too cold, we don't want to start shivering a little bit, because chas v'shalom, that could affect our vision of what it means to live in Eretz Yisrael. We want to make sure that we don't complain about anything. So we're going to move to the sun. And a Rebbe in Gus, Rabbi Asaf Bednar, some of you have met him, he actually came here 2 years ago, I think, as a scholar in residence. So he once pointed out, he said, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, it's always a beautiful day. If it's sunny outside, it's a beautiful day. If it's raining outside, Baruch Hashem, it's raining. In Eretz Yisrael, we want it to be sunny and we want it to be rainy at the same time. Whatever it's doing, it's good. It's good for us. I know it's a madrega, it's a level. But the idea that Rav Ami and Rav Asi would try to make sure that they themselves had nothing to complain about is very, very important. It's the same Gemara and Sota that talks about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. Both of them didn't get to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's a miracle that we, as Jews, get to be in Eretz Yisrael. And the idea that we would complain about something here, when people who had such love, Moshe Rabbeinu had such love for Eretz Yisrael, he didn't even get to come in. And we're going to come in here, and we're going to complain. Robbie was just pointing out that I asked Herbie if he could fix me up with a little bit different eggs. I don't know. I can't eat those fried eggs, right? It looks like an eyeball staring at you. I can't stand it. But I didn't ruin that for anybody. So he brought me some scrambled eggs, and he put it down, and everybody around here was like, how do you get scrambled eggs? How do you get it? And Robbie pointed out everybody was fine with the fried eggs. Everybody was fine, but when somebody showed up with some different kind of eggs, so all of a sudden, what I have is not good enough. Then we have a little bit of appreciation. We live in Eretz Yisrael. Just because something might be a little bit not to our liking, or something might be a little bit different somewhere else, we should appreciate everything that we have. We should try to go out of our way to make sure that we retain that appreciation for as long and as consistently as possible. And when me is moving from the sun to the shade, or from the shade to the sun, we should have the wisdom to figure out how to do that.
Sometimes the weather is scrambled as well.
Sometimes
the weather is scrambled.
The weather is scrambled.
Sunny,
the weather is scrambled.
I
ain't told, exactly. That's the Ezo Derek. You're making it worse. Okay, the last one was Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda says he used to roll around in the dust. I remember still when the first time I was in Eretz Yisrael, it was in 1998, I think. We still used to land on the tarmac, and you could get out and you could land. Mamish, get off of the plane. You walk down the steps and you. Get on the ground. So one of the rabbis at NYU said, you know, he also remembers that. He used to go down, but he said he wasn't comfortable kissing the concrete. It's concrete. It's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not the land. It's not the dust. So he would look. He would go around like looking for dust, for dirt, for something. And he said he finally found something. He found a potted plant. And a big potted plant. And he looked. He's staring at the dirt. And he's thinking in his halachic mind, he's thinking, well, you know, I mean, it's dirt, it's definitely Mother Earth, it's definitely dirt of Eretz Yisrael, but on the other hand, it's in a pot, it's a potted plant, I can't pick it up to see whether there's holes on the bottom, I don't know whether it's Atzitz Nakov, it's going to be good enough, and he reached his face in and he kissed the dirt of the potted plant. Now, I actually remember also, I remember the first time that I came to Eretz Yisrael, I remember getting off the plane, and getting on the bus, and I was so excited to see the beauty of the land of Eretz Yisrael, to see really, really just the majesty. I remember being on the bus, and frankly, I was a little bit disappointed. We were riding through, and I was expecting greenery, this emerald paradise, like an Oz-like thing. And it was mostly brown. It was just brown and rocky. And I think back to that moment. And I look at this Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda. Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, he's not kissing the trees. He's not dancing in the streets on Yom HaTzmaut. He's rolling around in the dust. Because Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda realizes that not everything is perfect. He realizes not everything is clean. But he loves the land no matter what. And he loves the land in a way that when you really love another person, You get to a certain point when you know the person well enough, you can see their blemishes, you can see their flaws. And when you really love that person, you don't only love the wonderful things about them, but you don't just tolerate the blemishes, but you even love the blemishes. You even love the foibles and the dysfunctions and the things that are not so perfect. You love those as well. And Rabbi Chaya Bar Ganda is rolling around in the dust, in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Even when he sees something that's not perfect, he loves it anyways. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? Rav Aaron Lechtenstein was once on a plane. And he was flying back from Eretz Yisrael, and he happened to be on the plane with Rav Huttner, Rav Yitzchak Huttner. And he was talking to Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner said, "No, what did you think of Eretz Yisrael?" And Rav Aaron Lechtenstein, it was wonderful. He said, "Well, what did you think was so great about it?" He said, "Well, you know, there's the wonderful yeshivos, really, really great Torah learning." And Rav Huttner says, we had that in Europe as well. The same thing in Europe. He said, "Well, you know, the civil law is based on halakha." He said, "Well, we also had that in Europe. You know, we had Batei Din in Europe, everything we had." He said, "Well, you know, you go around and, you know that it's a land that's filled with Jews." And he says, "Yeah, we had that in the ghetto as well, land that's filled with Jews." Rav Aaron was kind of at a loss. He didn't know what to say. He says, "You mean, you don't understand? It's Eretz Yisrael. Land she'enei Hashem Elokecha ba me'acharit ha'shana ad acharit shana." It's God's land. God is staring at you in that land. It's His land. It's His home. And you're there. The mitzvot there are totally different than everywhere else. Rav Huttner reportedly, if he had put on tefillin in the morning in Chutz La'aretz and he flew to Israel, he would put tefillin on again the moment he landed. Because that was tefillin in Chutz La'aretz, and this is tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. And they were totally different. So that was a person that would see, he saw past the blemishes. We could see past the blemishes and see what's hiding underneath the earth. And when you see what's hiding underneath the earth, then you don't care what's on the outside. You just roll around in that dirt, and it's just as beautiful as the most beautiful land that you can imagine. Because it doesn't really matter what it actually looks like on the outside when you know what's hiding underneath. And that's just four snapshots of ways that as you go around, hopefully go around and enjoy Eretz Yisrael today and for the rest of the year really, to keep these four insights, these four different ways of seeing the land and appreciating it. And here at Son that we have all of Bnei Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael coming back to Eretz Yisrael soon enough to enjoy it the same day that we do, and to really, really appreciate it. Yirat Zon.